Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at Jeremiah 18, if you've got a Bible near you this morning. And as I alluded to, I want to talk about mistakes. I've already made a mistake this year. On Wednesday, we had the Bible study, and in my mind, I thought, right, I mustn't forget to take the Christmas decorations down this year. And I forgot to take the Christmas decorations down this year, and I had a phone call from Richard, who very kindly, well, I feel for him really, turned up, and he phoned up and said, "Do you know the Christmas decorations are up?" And I thought, oh no, totally forgot. And so he's already rescued me. But we all make mistakes, don't we? And I want to talk about mistakes. Albert Einstein, he said once, a person who never made a mistake has never tried anything new. And that means, really, from the moment that we enter into this world, we're going to make mistakes. We've made mistakes. We know that we've made mistakes. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. The Bible puts it very clearly in Romans 3:23 when Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. All of our lives are littered with errors. All of our lives are littered with failures and sins. We navigate through life and often we find ourselves veering off course and heading in the wrong direction. We make mistakes, but I'm not sure this is I guess it's a comfort in a way. The good news is we're not alone. We all make mistakes. A notice board in a church had these notices pinned up in error. The evening massage will be at a slightly earlier time of 6 p.m. Don't get your hopes up. Thursday night, potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. The choir will meet at the Larson House for fun and sinning. And probably my favourite, ushers will eat latecomers. Half the congregation are worried now. Mistakes. If you're honest, this morning, I wonder, as you look back over 2018, on the past year, I wonder if you'd hold your hands up and say, well, yeah, you know what? I made some mistakes. I made some big mistakes. I made some small mistakes. I made some mistakes. At the start of a new year, I guess it's natural for us to find ourselves wondering, what is the next 12 months going to hold? We don't know what tomorrow has in store. And so as we reflect on the past and we embark on what is another 365 days of glorious mystery, maybe this morning we find ourselves disappointed as we sort of glance over our shoulders at the year behind us. And maybe our heads and our hearts drop a little bit as we're confronted with what we can only describe as a patchy at best record when it comes to living for Christ if we're Christians. Maybe as many of my school reports used to surmise so often, the message that gets delivered when we look at last year in the light of spiritual failure is must try harder, must do better, too easily distracted. And I guess the temptation is for us to wonder, well, in the light of the mistakes, in the light of the failures, in the light of the same old, is 2019, is it going to be different? I mean, are we actually going to make progress in our Christian lives or not? Are we destined to rewind and repeat the same old mistakes and the same old failures and the same old sins, leaving us with the same old feeling of hopelessness and guilt and shame? I asked my brother last week what he'd like for his birthday. It's his birthday on Wednesday. And he texted me back a time machine. Not very helpful, but I guess we'd all like one of those for various different reasons. It would be good, wouldn't it, to be able to go back and do things differently. But the problem is we can't erase the mistakes of our past, and we can't take back what we've done and what we've said. But the good news is we don't need to. We can have a fresh start today because we come to a God who's the God of second chances. That's if you remember nothing else today, remember that. We come to a God of second chances, a God of new beginnings, and that means whoever you are, whether you're not a Christian, and you look at your life and it's full of sin and failure You think, well, God could never love me. He can never forgive what I've done. I want you to know you're wrong. He can. And if you're a Christian this morning, you think, well, I've screwed up so many times and I haven't lived the way I should and I've wandered off course and, you know, surely God has had enough of my apathy. Then I want you to know that's not true either. There's hope. There's hope. So what do you need God to do in your life this year? What changes are required? Maybe it's salvation. Maybe it's sanctification. Maybe your desire is to be more committed, is to be more content. God specializes in new beginnings and new starts, and that's what Jeremiah needed to be reminded of. When you get to this passage in Jeremiah, chapter 18, I know we only read 6 verses of it, but I love how God teaches Jeremiah, encourages him, this dedicated servant of the Lord. Jeremiah is a prophet, and he has the desire of God in his heart. He has the best interests of the people in his heart. He longs to serve them. But at this point, he's discouraged in his ministry. He's feeling pretty useless. He's feeling like a failure. He like he's about to give up on God's people. He thinks God's done everything that he can do, and that now there's no hope of anything ever changing, and that his people are just facing judgment, and there's no way out. And maybe that's how you feel a bit this morning, like there's no way out. Like the fire in your faith, if you have one, has been extinguished long ago, and the only thing that you have left is this faint ember, and it's barely even visible, and you think, surely it's too late now for God to do anything here. Jeremiah has almost given up hope of anything ever changing, and it's at that point that God tells him to go down to the potter's house in verses 1 and 2. The Lord says, Jeremiah, there's something that I want you to see. And so Jeremiah obeys the Lord, and he goes down to this place, and when he gets to the potter's house, he sees this potter. And this potter's at work at the wheel, shaping this clay vessel. But just as the vessel seems to be taking shape and becoming what he wants it to become, becoming something magnificent, just at that moment, this vessel gets marred. We're not told why. We're just told that it was. It seems to be spoiled. And in his mind, Jeremiah probably is thinking, surely the potter's just going to reject this crumpled clay as being ruined, as being beyond repair. But that doesn't happen. The potter doesn't throw the clay away. He doesn't discard the clay. He doesn't give up on the clay. Instead, he starts to put it back together. He starts to reform it. He puts it back on the wheel, and he starts to shape it once again, guided and shaped by his own hands. And he keeps doing that until it becomes what he knows it can be, until it reaches its full potential, until it takes the shape, until it takes the form he intended it in the beginning. You see, it's just a work in progress. It's a work in progress. And if you know and love Christ this morning, and you're examining your own life as I am and have done over the last few days, you know, it's a work in progress. We're works in progress. Notice in verse 6, God asks the question to Jeremiah, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." Can I not change this? God says, "You don't think I'm able to change this situation?" What is God's desire for your life and mine if we know and love him for 2019? What does God do with us when, like the clay pot, we get marred and ruined by sin? That's really the question. God's desire is to shape us and fashion us and mold us and make us into the people that he knows we have the potential to be. His desire is to deliver to us the amazing, mind-blowing, spectacular plan and purpose he has for each one of us as we walk and live by faith. His desire is to make us more like Christ, or to save us if we don't know him at all. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's, That's God's desire. So if you find yourself this morning disappointed because you're looking back at the past year and seeing the wreckage of another year you messed up in so many ways, another year that you just didn't do what you planned to do, another year where if you're honest, you look into your heart and you think, well, I'm not the person I wanted to be. I didn't spend time with God. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't pray. I don't know why. I just got sidetracked, and I've been sidetracked for so many years. And I know that I don't know God like I should know God. And I know I don't experience His love like I used to. And I want that again. If that's you, you're discouraged, then God has a message of hope and assurance this morning. He is still working in your life and mine. He is still working on us and in us and through us. And His desire is to shape our lives and take the mess of our lives and make them into a masterpiece. God has, He says to His people, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Isn't that good news? When our plans don't work out, when our hopes and our dreams don't materialize like we expect, when we suddenly realize that we're flawed, when we see that we do fall into sin and we do fail, God can remake us. God can reform us. He doesn't throw us into the dustbin of life, even though that's what we deserve. He doesn't sort of say, well, I'm sorry, James, but you've screwed up one too many times. I'm done with you. No, when we turn to Him in repentance and faith, we can begin again. But it has to start here. David knew that experience when he penned the words of Psalm 57:10. He says, for great is your love reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. You see, there is mercy to be found with the Lord, but it has to be found now. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Isaiah 1:18. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does it mean when God says those things? What it means is you can have a new beginning. It means if you're not a Christian, there's a way for you to have that sin in your life dealt with once and for all. It means there's good news for the lost, that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. You say, well, what is that? Surely it's good living, giving to charity, living a good life, being a good person, being kind, being loving. No, there's a door that's open and you may go in at Calvary's cross is where you begin. When you come as a sinner to Jesus, when we come to Christ, we find everything we ever dreamed of. We find cleansing from all of our sin. We discover that His precious blood that was shed at the cross, it does remove every guilty stain, past, present, and future. It does offer new life, not just for the future, but now. New life now, life to the full. That's what Jesus came to bring us, the chance to start all over again. You can have a new beginning when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You don't have to be perfect. You won't be perfect. Just as we are. That's the only way we can come to Him. But, you know, God also offers us a chance to begin again if we're Christians and we've fallen and we're backslidden, if we've drifted in our love for Him. Maybe we started well, but somewhere along the line, maybe you can't even pin it down. You just drifted off course. God holds out His hands to us this morning and He beckons us to come to Him for a new start. The Apostle Paul knew about that. He says, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what's behind, Paul says, move on, strain ahead, press on toward the goal. What's the goal? To win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, before clay is glazed and fired, the potter has the time, he has the desire to reshape and redo the pottery until it's what it's meant to look like. That's what Jeremiah saw when God instructed him here to go to the potter's house. He sees the potter working with the clay, reshaping the clay, remaking the clay. And God says, that's what I'm trying to do with the house of Israel. They're flawed. They're marred. They're living in disobedience to me, but I want to remake them. I want to make them into the beautiful creation that I purpose them to be. They don't have to face judgment. They can have mercy. They can have grace. I will relent. God offers them a chance to start again. And the same offer is offered to you and to me this morning, to begin again. But it starts only when we humbly come to Him. Only when we yield our lives to Him. It has to start here. Because the Bible tells us when it comes to salvation, we're not going to be offered a chance after we die. And when it comes to sanctification, we're not going to be offered a chance after we die either. Once we die, the Bible says it is appointed for us to face judgment, right? We stand before Almighty God, and at that point, all of our lives, everything we've ever done, it's going to be tested. And it'll be too late to be remolded then. New beginning, right here. Do you want it? Do you want a new beginning? Do you want a new start? Do you want to know salvation in Christ? Now is the time. Right here. And right now, sometimes we have good intentions of changing, but our good intentions don't really materialize into anything. I don't know if any of you made New Year's resolutions in 2018. I imagine some of you did. I used to make New Year's resolutions. They're a bad idea, I think, on the whole. We don't do very well at following through. We have great intentions, but so often our intentions don't turn up. Do you ever find that in your own life? You plan something, you say you're going to do it, but then it doesn't happen. We just give mental assent. We agree with the truths. Even, and maybe especially when it comes to God's word. You know, we turn up and we say, you know, that was a great word we had today. You ever said that? Well, it was a great word, but then we don't change and our lives remain the same. It's sort of like spiritual Groundhog Day. Have you ever seen that Bill Murray film, Groundhog Day? Same old thing, just going over and over and over and over again. Every day is the same. No escape. We repeat the same old patterns. We turn up at church. We have our quiet time. We rush it. We don't really take it in. We don't really spend time with God. We go through the motions. And, you know, got the seed of God's word, it just gets stolen away. It doesn't penetrate our hearts. It doesn't affect our lives. We don't grow in our likeness of Christ. We just grow in our knowledge and our understanding that we aren't what we ought to be. And because we don't do anything about it, we're left feeling even more hopeless than when we started. We're like a man standing in a stifling hot desert, dying of thirst, being given directions to life-quenching water, and marveling at his existence, but never seeking it out. Wow, you're right, that water looks great. Thanks for describing it to me. But we never taste of it. We say, I'll make a fresh start tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. And the problem is, the longer we stay off of the potter's wheel, the longer we stay out of his shaping hands, the harder to work our clay-like lives become. Paul proclaimed in 2 Corinthians, working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. The time of salvation is now. The time, if you don't know Christ, to put your life into his hands is now. And now is the time for us to recommit ourselves to Christ if we already know and love him. Now, to make the decision to follow him, to make the decision to pursue him, to make the pursuit of living for him the preeminent, paramount focus of our lives. You don't have to wait until you can offer God this perfect proportioned vessel of a life. You can do it now. You can seek the Lord now. You can get serious about your faith. You can get serious about your Christian life and how that affects your marriage and your family now. Now's the time. And when we do that, when we commit ourselves to Him, when we place our lives into His hands, when we say, Lord, I'm nothing and You are everything and I don't deserve a thing from You, but please, Lord, please, please make this year different. Please, Lord, with Your help, I can only do it with You. Please, will You work in and through me? Please be glorified in my life. When we do that, even though we have a history of failure, God honors that kind of desire. You know, the Apostle Peter, he made a good beginning, but as he went on, as we know from the New Testament, he fell. He yielded to outward pressure. There he was in the courtyard. He gets a difficult time from many preachers. You know, Peter denied Jesus. But all the other disciples said the same. They said, we'd follow You, Jesus, even to the ends of the earth, even if it means death. They all said it. But he's the only one who even got close to keeping his word about being willing to do that. Luke 22, it's all there in black and white if you want to read it. Three times Peter's accused of being a follower of Jesus. Three times he denies knowing Jesus. And then the rooster crows. And in one inexplicable moment, he realizes his incredible failure and he weeps. How could I fail Jesus like that? He knew that he was marred. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus write him off? Did God sort of say, right, well, Peter, you said you'd follow Jesus to death and you didn't, so I'm done with you. He didn't. God made him over again. And through Peter's obedience and his love for God, Peter began again and God reshaped his life and he was changed. And God used him in incredible ways, because God is in the business of transforming lives. Are you marred this morning? Honestly, when you look at your life, when you look at your heart, when you look at your desires, when you look at where you are as a Christian, are you marred? You see some areas that need changing? I hope the answer is yes. I hope it's yes. Because if you're not saying yes, you're not being honest. Here's the wonderful news. God sees your clay and my clay. He sees our mess. He sees our failure. But He also sees the great potential we have to be vessels of honor. And He says to you and me this morning, it's not too late. The headline is, God's not going to give up on you. Whoever you are, however far you've drifted away, He's not going to throw you out on the scrap heap of life. He's not going to dismiss you as a lost cause if you are willing. If you are willing, God will take the clay of your life and start all over again. He will shape you as it seems best to Him. He will make you and mold you into the person He wants you to be, the person He knows you can be, the person you know you can be deep down. It's not too late for Him to take the mess of our lives and make a masterpiece for our good and His glory. Adelaide Pollard was distressed. In spite of her best efforts, she couldn't raise the funds she needed to go as a missionary to Africa. Why? Wondered the 40-year-old woman. And so discouraged, she attended a prayer meeting one evening in 1902. There, an old woman prayed, Lord, it doesn't matter what You bring into our lives, just have Your way with us. The words sank home. Adelaide traveled back to her house. She meditated on the old woman's prayer and on the Bible texts in Jeremiah 18, 3 and 4, and in Isaiah, which referred to God as a potter. As a result, she wrote a hymn, which millions of people have sung, which we're going to end with this morning. These are the words. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. Let's stand to sing.